334, no tax.
Welcome to America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. Hope you're having a good week as we head down the road to Hump Day. Good news about Hump Day, I always say this, if it's a bad week, just got to hang on for a couple more, and then you can chill on the weekend. Unless you're like most of us and you do work that lopsided hours kind of thing. A lot of you third shifters, a lot of you truckers, everybody's kind of working crazy hours, but usually you have one of the two weekend days off, you hope. Unless, of course, you work on the Hill and you can't come to any kind of an agreement or figure out what to do to get us back into the black as a nation. So you might work on Sunday. That's what happened last week for a few. House Speaker John Boehner was on Fox News and he said, I'm not really sure what I believe anymore about what's going to happen if the limit isn't raised. So we're talking about the debt ceiling again, crashing down on America. The Secretary of the Treasury, Timmy Geithner, says it's Armageddon. The markets will crash, interest rates will soar, and we'll all be screwed, looking for a lifeboat. President Obama was quick to say earlier in the day, hey, I can't guarantee those checks are coming in the mail. What am I talking about? In his words.
I cannot guarantee that those checks go out on August 3rd if we haven't resolved this issue, because there may simply not be the money in the coffers to do it.
Oh, so if you are relying on Social Security or you're a veteran, thanks for serving us. You might not get your check. Or if you're disabled and you absolutely count on that check, you need it to pay some of your bills, well, then I guess you could do what California did. Issue an IOU. The government didn't give you my money, so here's your IOU. Seriously, people have bills that are due. And you know what? They don't care at the electric company. They don't care at the cable company. They don't care at the phone company. When you can't pay, they cut you off. So the president is suggesting, oh, well, some people are going to get cut off. So this was a bold move to say to the Republicans, you're either playing the way we want to play or you're not playing at all. And, of course, Mitch McConnell crumbles like a cheap suit. He folds and says, okay, well, I have this plan where we're not going to default. There's not a problem with that. And unless the House votes a certain way and the Senate votes a certain way, well, then the president would ultimately have the veto power, and the Tea Party slammed him to the ground, basically saying he was lily-livered, which he was, because he came out swinging for months, and then suddenly he just backs down. So what do they have on Mitch McConnell? Betty Ford, bless her heart, was a woman who broke open the doors, and we talked about this on a previous show, to alcohol addiction and pills and all the things that people turn to when they have a tough time for whatever reason with life, with circumstances. I mean, there's a myriad of things that happen where somebody turns to something else that gets them into trouble when they fall down the rabbit hole. But people didn't used to talk about it. They didn't used to reach out for help. It was really tough to do that, and you certainly never, ever talked about it. Well, once Betty Ford was very open about what she was dealing with, and then, of course, they had the Betty Ford Center, that changed a lot of lives with the residential treatment because it spawned other residential treatment areas that got bigger and more people were able to get help, and it changed a lot of lives. Rosalind Carter, another former first lady, had this to say about Betty Ford, who was laid to rest after dying last week at the age of 93.
She used the influence of the Office of First Lady to promote early detection, and millions of women are in her debt today. She was never afraid to speak the truth, even about the most sensitive subjects, including her own struggles with alcohol and painkillers.
Yeah, so bravo, and certainly we all know that. And then also, as Rosalind Carter mentioned there, breast cancer because she had to have a mastectomy. And that was another thing that wasn't talked about very much. Now you have the Komen Foundation and Races for the Cure and all kinds of things and pink ribbons and even professional sports teams getting involved with certain days to raise awareness and money. And that's all very, very good. And a lot of that started thanks to Betty Ford. Wherever you are and you're listening to me right now, are you sweltering? Are the temperatures 100 plus? Let me tell you, I have gone through 100 plus for like 11 days. To me, it's all the same. It's like when I used to live in California, I always thought it was Groundhog Day because every day was sunny, but it wasn't hot. So even in the East Coast, they're dealing with some unseasonably warm temperatures, and heat becomes the subject when there's a lot of it and when you're having a hard time coping with it. And for some reason, and I understand this because I've been one of those people, it's like when they tell you to exercise, oh, you need to stretch, but then you don't stretch, and then eventually, ooh, you hurt yourself. And you think, well, maybe I should have stretched. Forever we've known this. Anybody who's lived in heat, you know that you're supposed to hydrate. Drink some water. You don't just go out and haven't had anything to drink. You have to hydrate yourself. If you're going to go play golf, if you're going to go do something where you're out in those crazy temperatures, even more so. And you certainly have to be able to have access to water. But for some reason, I guess we all forget that because we're in a hurry doing whatever it is we're doing. So here's what it sounds like across the nation. Here's a weatherman from ABC, Sam Champion, basically talking about what some of the states are dealing with.
It's the combination, the heat and humidity, that makes it so difficult for your body to cool down. 21 states have those heat warnings or advisories out. 20 states will have temperatures above 100 degrees. Already in Memphis, it feels like it's 98 degrees.
Yeah, and when you're talking about those, you know, when you're talking about those days where early in the morning already it's hot, or at night where it continues to be hot, that's when you forget. I don't know. Somehow you think, because you're coming out of air conditioning places, and then you forget and don't realize, oh yeah, I forgot. I've been out of the sun for this whole time. So this is just kind of my little lecture. Be careful, because I've seen people crumble when they haven't had enough water or Gatorade or whatever it is that you drink, Powerade, I don't know, coconut water, whatever, who cares? Just make sure you take something when you go out there in the middle of all of that. All right, so we've covered the gamut here right at the top, right from the get-go. Coming up this hour, conversation with Stephen Shohat. He's our man in Hollywood, and there was another great loss from the Hollywood set, somebody who produced some interesting television series that really had legs. If you remember Gilligan's Island, if you remember the Brady Bunch, and a slew of other things, we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about his impact on the industry itself. Back in the days in the 60s when, you know, kind of you could throw anything up against the wall and the sky was the limit, so you could come up with, oh, a bunch of people stranded on an island, I think that'll sell. Ooh, maybe a blended family, which the Brady Bunch was really a little bit ahead of its time. So stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
Go live to D.C. I love when we talk to people like Ken Bassinet because he doesn't pull any punches. He has a lot of sources on both sides of the aisle. And I'll tell you what, he's the one guy in America that's almost giddy about sitting ringside when it comes to this debt ceiling nonsense. I mean, it really is a circus. But we could talk about descriptions of what's happening on the Hill all day long. The bottom line is Mitch McConnell, he's right, is the story. Because here you have the top Republican in the Senate who actually proposed on Tuesday to give President Obama new power, essentially, to increase the debt limit to avoid a default on any of our obligations. I mean, he said that. He offered a new plan that would allow the president, and you heard Ken talk about how convoluted it was. He had to read it a couple of times. And did you really understand it? He's like he said, let's just cut to the chase. That's what he did, to allow the president to demand up to at least $2.4 million in new borrowing by the summer of next year in three different ways, three different submissions, basically. So the increases in the so-called debt limit would automatically take effect unless both the Republican House and the Democratic Senate enacted some kind of legislation that disapproved of it. Wow. What was McConnell thinking? He's right. It's like he set the bear trap and then he stepped right into the bear trap. Duh. Not thinking. So the Republican plan does, however, the way I read it, the way I see it, I was like Ken. I looked at it a couple different times to try to make heads and tails of it. It is a lot of gobbledygook, but that's the problem with half of the proposed legislation or ideas that come out of D.C. I mean, it is. Probably because half of them are lawyers, right? So anyway, the Republican plan would require that the president submit spending cuts along with the borrowing requests. That's it. These are the broad strokes, but unlike the increase in the debt limit, they wouldn't automatically take effect. So are you following this? So the talks over spending cuts and tax increases, because they're becoming so nasty, so acrimonious, I mean, this is what was thrown out there. And McConnell tossed out this piece of cheese just a couple of hours before he was supposed to go to the White House for the third time in a third round of budget talks in how many days? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And there doesn't seem to be an end in sight. McConnell flat out said when he was asked, we will not default. There is no way we will not default. And coming up this hour, and I know you're on the edge of your seat, Tiny Tim, a.k.a. the secretary, the treasury of the secretary, or treasury secretary, it doesn't matter. Titles don't matter for him. Tim Geithner and what he had to say, his last rounds of dire warnings of death and destruction, should we default? Because, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Is the economy struggling? Yes. I mean, come on. What does it mean if you have a downgrade in our bond rating? What does that mean? Would there really be panic in the markets? What does it mean for interest rates? I don't think there's any doubt that there would be higher interest rates, because what a perfect thing to pin it on. And, of course, the markets, it's so subjective. Anybody throws out something negative, and we see sometimes what will tip the scales, right? Sometimes I'm shocked at the news that tips the scales. That's why betting on the markets is legalized gambling. You are standing at the craps table, and, hey, all of us at some point are at the craps table, because if you have any kind of a retirement account, some of it, let's face it, has to be in the market. So panic in the markets, there's always that. Always that. But the scary thing is the last part of what Ken said, and that was the brilliance. He's right of what Obama did. Warning, he couldn't guarantee that Social Security payments are going to go out as they're supposed to go out on August 3rd. Can you imagine how many people are relying on that payment? Think of the beginning of the month. Too many, and too many people that vote. So John Boehner knows, and along with Mitch McConnell now, after what he dumped out there, they're stuck. I mean, this wheel has spun off. That's what's happened here. So the question then becomes, I think, really, if you had a vote in this, and you've just heard this go on and on and on, not just me droning on and on, and I can't help it. We can't ignore this. But when you hear all of this, what do you think? What are you thinking, America, when you're listening to me in Geneva, Alabama, in Hartford, Connecticut, in Dallas, Texas? I mean, what are you thinking? You're thinking you're sick of all the nonsense. I mean, it just is what it is. Our attention spans aren't that ginormous, it's a word, look it up, anymore. And we're tired of this. That's why now Zogby, in the new poll that I happened to look at before we jumped on the air, shows that the majority of people want cuts rather than new taxes. I mean, saying the word taxes, and what were we talking about the other day, that it was going to be shared sacrifice, that was the new buzzword. And sure enough, I told you, sure enough, every third politician, at least from the Democratic Party, is using that word, shared sacrifice. So check this out. 9 in 10 voters say it's important for Congress and the president to reduce the debt. Okay, of course we know that. Is anybody going to raise their hand and say we shouldn't? But a majority want the axe to continue to swing on the spending cuts over increased revenues to try to get there. That means 2/3 favor means testing for Medicare based on a person's wealth. Means testing. Also, that same percentage oppose reducing the cost of living increases for Social Security and reducing provider payments in Medicare, Medicaid. It makes sense, I'm sure, for what Zogby found out. But 2/3 oppose ending the tax cuts for everyone. Everyone, across the board, like I said. So isn't that interesting? So what say you, America? Are you tired of this? Are you tired of hearing this night after night? Here's the good news. I mean, August 2nd is when everything ends. It's either Armageddon and the markets crash. Well, that's what Tim Geithner says anyway. And we spiral out of control. Or the debt ceiling is lifted. What do you think is going to happen? If I was forced, because it's only, you know, it's one way or the other. If I was forced to make a bet on this, and I said this when we first started heading down this long road, day after day, night after night, this is the thing that we talk about in Washington, I think they lift it. And it is still the same thing. What is the debt ceiling synonymous with? CYA. That's it. That's it. Find out who's running. Find out who has a dog in this thing. Right? And that's how you determine what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is ultimately it's lifted. We've had several of you that have called. Dan in Texas, who is hardcore Obama hater. Hardcore. And he said, I don't care. Don't lift the ceiling. Don't do it. Just don't lift it. Ron Paul, who's running for president, he's not going to run for Congress again. He's throwing all in on the presidential thing. And that's part of the whole Ron Paul deal. That all we have in this financial disaster that we've had, financial disaster after financial disaster, from the banks too big to fail, the mortgage crisis, which, by the way, more shoes are dropping on that one, this crazy deficit of over $14 trillion, the conversation about the debt ceiling and holding people hostage to that. I have to say, Ron Paul is the guy who said this a long time ago. And so that's why he's saying, forget it, I'm going all in on the presidential deal, and I'm not going to run for Congress again. Because he's saying, that's where my focus is. I'm just going to focus on that so that I'm, that's it, that's the deal. Right? 800-259-5791. Those are my digits. You can throw in yours too. Coming up round the bend here on America Tonight.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I found. trial from the Zero Debt Program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt Special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
235 years ago, our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence to escape tyranny and oppression. Today, there is a need to reinforce that declaration. What can we do to protect our health as a nation and in our homes from those who wish to control the quality of our air and water? To find out, you need to visit airandaqua.com right now or call 612-767-2777. You will receive a free copy of our Constitution, a newsletter, and bonus items. Air and Aqua.com. Purify your life today.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailor man, skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour.
I know what you're thinking. You're listening to the familiar theme of Gilligan's Island, and I bet you're thinking that that's what I think Congress should do, that they should all be thrown on an island. But no, Sherwood Schwartz, who was a king when it comes to television writers and producers, known probably the best as the creator of Gilligan's Island and, of course, The Brady Bunch, two iconic shows, died on Tuesday morning in Los Angeles. He was 94 years old. You know, it's interesting about Schwartz, besides all the things that he created in his life, In an era where we have so many people that are getting divorced, this is a guy whose marriage held together for 70 years. And his wife's name was Mildred. I saw a comment where she said, he had a very good life. It's just too bad it had to come to an end. So we always go to Hollywood on Tuesday to talk to our pal Stephen Schohet. He's got the skinny on all this stuff, especially when it comes to the history of Hollywood, both from yesteryear and currently. Stephen, how you doing?
Hey, very good, Kate. How are you?
Sherwood Schwartz was an iconic kind of guy.
Right, and you know, Mildred was such a loyal wife. I mean, there's one time when Gilligan's Island was on the air, it was shown on Saturdays at 8:30, and they actually, at the Schwartz household, actually got a phone call on a Thursday night asking from Arbitron and asking, what show are you watching right now? And Mildred said, Gilligan's Island. And the Arbitron person said, but that's not until Saturday night. And she said, I wait.
So, that's a great story.
I mean, Sherwood Schwartz talked about her that, you know, being a writer, you're home a lot, and you really need to have a loyal, understanding wife because, you know, he was spending a lot of time isolated coming up with these ideas. And, well, he sure, I mean, the critics not necessarily loving him, but the public sure did. And, he had a lot of great stories, Sherwood Schwartz. Like, before he wrote on Gilligan's Island, he wrote for My Favorite Martian, and he told the story that one time he got an executive sent him a note saying, come on, Sherwood, there's no way a Martian would really talk like that.
And look what happened to that show. Huge.
Yeah. And then Gilligan's Island, the idea was, he just was concerned about people not getting along. And he said that he just wanted to put seven diverse types, on an island and see if they could work out their problems. And part of it was based on Robinson Crusoe, although that really wasn't the main impetus. And he had to do a lot of convincing to get that show on the air. The key thing that got the show on the air was the opening theme song, because the people at CBS wondered, well, how will people relate to this? How will they know what's going on? And so the opening theme song told the story of how they got stranded there. And you know what's really ironic is, I mean, they always made the joke about, you know, the two actors, Russell Johnson and Don Wells, not getting mentioned, being "and the rest." Well, Don Wells at the time was married to her agent, and he actually made a deal that Don Wells would get a lifetime residuals, unlike the other actors. So when the other actors just got paid, you know, just a little bit for all those repeats, Don Wells has made millions of dollars. And of course, she was billed lowest of all the principals. So it's ironic how that turned out.
Yeah, no kidding. It's good for her. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you mentioned some of the different things he did. Somebody told me earlier in the day that he was actually even a writer. That was like really his first break on the Red Skelton Hour. And he got a couple of Emmy nominations or something for it. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Well, first, I think he started off with Bob Hope, first of all, and Bob Hope liked his jokes. And then, you know, he went to Red Skelton. And see, it's kind of the opposite, because Bob Hope could talk, but he couldn't really move very well. Red Skelton could move and was great with these sort of silent monologues, but he couldn't always talk very well. And, you know, he didn't really get along with Red Skelton that much. You know, there were creative differences, even though the show was very, very successful. But you know, because he was on the Red Skelton show, the network refused to buy Gilligan's Island because they didn't want to upset the apple cart. And they figured Red's such a big star, we don't want his head writer moving to another show. But finally, he and Sherwood sort of had a divorce. You know, creatively, they just didn't always get along very well. And then when Sherwood was off on his own, and after he worked on My Favorite Martian, then the network came through and finally bought Gilligan's Island.
Mm. And the Brady Bunch aired on ABC, and the Brady Bunch was definitely a hit that still lives on, even the remakes with the movie, et cetera, with the movies, et cetera. From like 69 to 74, I think, was the final year for the Brady Bunch in syndication. It's been huge. So did he make money in syndication too?
He made tons of money. The actors, you know, they didn't get the money. I mean, like he did. I mean, but the actors did get the exposure and the opportunity to go on to new shows. But yeah, Sherwood Schwartz owned both those shows, Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch, and he got the big benefits from that. And you know, both shows were canceled before they had to renegotiate with the actors. I mean, the Brady Bunch sort of pushed it to the limit with 5 years. But I mean, you know, like Florence Henderson, she seems like a wonderful person to me, and she's talked about that, you know, good-naturedly, how, you know, she doesn't get any money for all the reruns, but you know, she still enjoyed the show. And I don't think there was really that much animosity. The only problem that he had on that show constantly was with Robert Reed, who played the father, Mike. That role was originally going to go to Gene Hackman, by the way. But it's just so amazing sometimes when you think how different people's careers would have been if they would have taken one particular role. I mean, it changes the course of everything. But Robert Reed was, you know, a Shakespearean guy, a theatrical guy, and just thought television was beneath him and would constantly fight with Sherwood Schwartz over the direction of the show. And actually, he wasn't even in the last episode of the Brady Bunch because, you know, they're you know, animosity got too big and Robert Reed just wouldn't do things. I mean, the other person he fought with for a long time was Tina Louise, who came in and said, you know, I thought this show was about a movie star, meaning Gilligan's Island. And he said, well, Tina, you know, it's not called Ginger's Island, it's called Gilligan's Island. You know, but he did sort of, he made up with both of them enough so Robert Reed came to the Brady Bunch reunion shows, and Tina Louise, even though she didn't go for the Gilligan's Island reunion shows, she did come up to Sherwood Schwartz and told him a story that she had been asked by a woman to go visit her dying husband in the hospital because the dying husband was a big Gilligan's Island fan and made him feel better, and she realized, you know, that maybe playing Ginger was a good thing after all, if she had that kind of effect on people's lives. By the way, just a story about Gilligan's Island, and maybe people have heard, but when that show was on the air, people actually used to call the Coast Guard and demand to know why the castaways weren't being rescued.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
ridiculous.
I'm
not saying it's a lot of people. You know, but all it takes is a few. You know, do I have time for one more story? Or?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, they used to film that, at CBS, and it was in the San Fernando Valley, and the lagoon was actually a parking lot. And they couldn't do anything till 10 o'clock in the morning because otherwise the freeway noise would disturb everything. So one time, Jim Backus and Alan Hale were hitting golf balls over the lagoon, and it was good natured, obscenities flying, but they were saying, oh, I'm the much better driver. Oh, I'm the much better driver. Well, a security guard walked over to him and said, gentlemen, we got a complaint from the president of CBS. A golf ball went through the windshield of his Rolls Royce and shattered it. Do you know who's responsible for that? And they both dropped their clubs and pointed at the other one. Oh, it's Backus. He's much better than I. Oh, it was Hale. He's way. And it turned out that Bob Denver had bribed the security guard to tell this phony story.
So. You have to love that. Perfect way to end this. Just one quick one. Are you going to go see Harry Potter? Or nah, you're not into the Potter series stuff.
I don't know. I sort of petered out after the fourth one, but I might since it's the last one, but I don't know. They just didn't hold my attention after the fourth one, but I am interested, so I'll probably go. I'm looking forward to Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh, so am I. We'll have to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
When that gets closer and we go see it, let's talk about that one. I want to see that too. Definitely.
Okay. And my book is called Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. And it's got over 1,000 stories about movies and stars and television shows, producers, directors, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And the website is HollywoodStories.com.
All right. Excellent. As always, Stephen, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it, Kate.
Thank you. Hey, coming up on the flip side, we have sports shorts plus who did what in the All-Star game, and do you care? Matt Johnson professes to be a baseball fan, and I asked him when we started the show, hey, in between, Matt, did you watch the game? Nah, I'm not really interested in the All-Star game. So I'm wondering if other people feel the same way. I'm thinking it's just because the American League got creamed again for the second straight year. So we will tell you what happened in that game and a few other things as well. You know, I mentioned Harry Potter there, and Harry Potter does come out in a couple of days. Of course, there's even theaters that are already sold out, people pre-advanced tickets, you know, ordering the pre-advanced tickets and stuff. And so this is it. This is the end of Harry Potter, supposedly. Do you know that franchise has raked in some serious dough? I mean, you know, it's got to be a lot of dough, but did you know the number is $6 billion worldwide? That's the most of any movie franchise ever. J.K. Rowling will never be on the dole again.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hey, Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
You've been lied to. Lied to by the Wall Street propaganda machine, the government, and the talking heads in the media. The market is in for another crash. Real estate is already in a double-dip recession, and if you want to keep your hard-earned money safe, this message is for you. My name is Brett Kitchen, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed, I said enough is enough. I searched and discovered a way to safely grow my money, participate in potential double-digit gains, but also have my money protected when the crashes come. Plus, it could save you thousands in taxes. I want you to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney used to safely grow their wealth. Call 1-800-675-1640 right now to get your free copy. Again, that's 1-800-675-1640. I'm giving away a limited number of copies today, so call 1-800-675-1640.
The sport of boxing has always had a series of weight classes, and today you need a scorecard to keep up with all the possible titles and belts. That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Pure Life Water, helping you drink better and live better by providing a zero-calorie alternative to sugary drinks. Visit us at nestle-purelife.us. When kids are playing, they often don't want to stop to keep hydrated. So send them out with a bottle of water and encourage them to take frequent drink breaks or call them inside for a quick sip. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Well, there have always been some great pugilists in all weight categories. The heavyweights used to be the biggest game around with the likes of Joe Louis, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, George Foreman, and Mike Tyson, just to name a few. Today, the Klitschko brothers have all the belts. Vitaly, the oldest, has the WBC. Vladimir, who just beat David Haye for the WBA title, also sports the IBF, the IBO, WBO, and Ring Magazine Hardware. You get my drift. Pound for pound now, and no offense to the Ukrainian brothers, the welterweight division has created most of the buzz with Sugar Shane Mosley, Floyd Mayweather, and Manny Pacquiao, and a few others, making it interesting. So when you sit ringside, you never know what's going to happen. But whether it's a knockout or a fighter can't get up before the 10-second count, someone's too injured to go on, or there's a technical knockout, the four ways to win are all the same. Catch a ringside. This is the Sports Princess for Sports Shorts. Yeah, listening to Sports Shorts, as I describe it, is like alphabet soup when you talk about boxing. I really used to like heavyweight boxing, and there are many more fights we could talk about. Of course, we have a short window of time when we do Sports Shorts. That's the idea. And now you see how the heavyweight division has, I mean, sorely gone downhill in the past decade plus. Somebody said to me today, I'd rather watch the old fights, the Rumble in the Jungle, all that kind of stuff. I'd rather watch that on YouTube than watch anything that's out there now. And it really has become a sport that's taken over by the mixed martial arts, I would say. So here we are back on America Tonight. And you see the analogies, though, with Washington and the fights and sitting ringside and all that. And I think all of us are, we don't care where the seat is ringside. We're done with this whole deficit ceiling stuff. And the good news is there's only a couple weeks until we, boom, hit August. So I mentioned that I would squeeze in what happened in the All-Star Game. I watched the All-Star Game. The National League, I'm a big baseball fan, the National League won the All-Star Game for the second straight year. Major League Baseball, probably about 10, 11 years ago, decided that they needed to up the ante to make it more exciting, because there's always the question of how do you get people interested in the All-Star Game? You know, they might root for their team or their player or vote for them and all that kind of stuff, but how do we showcase the great game and have something on the line besides some players who end up getting a little bit of a contract bump, like, you know, 50,000 here, 75,000 or whatever, if they make it to the All-Star Game. So whoever wins the All-Star Game, whichever league, that league would get the home field advantage when it comes to the World Series. So there is something at stake for whatever team ends up in the National League, whatever team ends up winning, getting all the way to the World Series, they get the advantage. But I don't know that that's made it any sexier for any of the fans. So in the end, the American League couldn't muster up much offense, though they tried at the tail end of the game. It just didn't happen. In the National League, Prince Fielder had a three-run homer, and he ended up being the MVP. And the National League beat the American League. The final score is 5-1. And it really, it was more about the stories about the players and, you know, that kind of thing, rather than this is incredible action. And I don't think you'll ever really get that in any All-Star game, to be honest. I mean, the worst probably is pro football, where for the people who play the game and their families, they get to go to Hawaii. But for the people who watch, really, what are you seeing? You're not going to see guys crunched on the field when they're playing in a Pro Bowl. You're not going to see that. So maybe baseball comes the closest. Maybe they do it the best. I don't know. I might disagree. The National League being on top in this game, I think, is good for me. Roy Halladay and the relief crew combined on a six-hitter, by the way. So 5-1, like I said, was the final score. And maybe the National League is kind of roaring back in some of these things. Fielder became the first Brewer to win the honors that I mentioned, MVP, the hardware. And we'll see what team ends up getting into the World Series and how much of a leg up they actually get from them. All right, Jeff in Oregon is waiting in the wings. He's our leadoff man, so let's go to him. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hey, Kate, I was telling your boss, Matt, why don't Congress give up their checks for a month so make this budget make a lot easier?
Well, I'll tell you what, if they have checks that don't go out, Social Security checks or veterans checks, any of that kind of stuff, then I think you're right. I think that they should not be paid for what they're doing. If they can't figure out a way to circumvent some kind of a crisis when they know that it's a matter of coming up with a compromise, everything is about the art of negotiation, and there has to be some negotiation in this that both sides can live with. We shouldn't be first place.
I was telling your boss, Matt, I know Cecil Fielder, remember you were just mentioning him?
Prince Fielder, his son, yeah.
Yeah, Cecil used to play for Detroit Tigers, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yes, I did know that. Yes, absolutely.
I used to go to all the games all the time in Detroit.
Mm. So I'm thinking, boy, the era that you watched was kind of an exciting time for the Tigers. And, of course, the great Ernie Harwell, right? Listening
yes,
to the voice.
In fact, I got to meet him a couple times when he was alive.
Yeah. I got to meet him a couple of times too. What a knowledgeable baseball man
he
was.
Paul Carey, I don't know if you knew who he was. He was knowledgeable too.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. So you went to a lot of games, a lot of baseball games.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I got to meet Jim Leland, who's the current manager too, Kate.
Mm. Wow.
See, I got more power than you.
Yeah, you do. When it comes to autographs, you probably have more of those, too. Do you have a lot of, do you have a big baseball collection?
Yeah, I think me and Matt have to, train you how to do all this stuff, Kate.
Well, I'll ask the boss. I'll ask the boss afterwards, Jeff. So thanks for calling. You take care. Oh, that was good. All right. You know that old saying, you're not the boss of me. So we're talking a little baseball here, mixing up kind of at the tail end as we head for the exits of this hour of America tonight. We started off in D.C., and it's the same old thing when it comes to what's going to happen with the deficit ceiling. Are you concerned about the debt crisis? How worried are you? Do you think these threats are empty threats, or really everything's going to crumble, like Tim Geithner says, or the president threw out a big one when he talked about Social Security checks and talked about the veterans? Why is it always the little guy that's on the coals anyway? Why are the middle class always walking on the coals, just desperately trying to keep their shoes on? How does that happen? It started off where it was just a battle of, well, make the wealthy pay. Why shouldn't the wealthy pay? What about the richest 1% of the country? They can afford to do it. They say they'll do it. Most of the people aren't complaining, whatever. And as I said, that's not enough anyway for where we are with the $14 trillion. And when the taxes are raised and the brackets go up, everybody will feel that. Everybody will feel that with the mortgages, with, you know, you name it. They'll feel the taxes. The bracket goes up, you'll pay more. Not just that 1%. I mean, that's the bottom line in this whole thing, really. Coming up on the tail end of the week, and we talked a lot about Casey Anthony. The latest thing is that she's probably going to try to change her name. In fact, attorneys that represent her are trying to make that happen because of the name and how people, certainly in the area where she lives, how they feel about her. When she's released from prison this weekend, her legal team was concerned about anything that she would sign or do or anything like that, so they're saying that she would have to live under an assumed name and probably have to go to some kind of a secret location. How long do you think that location will be secret? You know that old thing about loose lips, sinking ships, and do you think really, I mean, you know, ask the mafia about this. Witness protection, how successful do you think they are? How successful will Casey Anthony be going underground? Any thoughts on the show, send them to me. Go to the website, americatonight.net. Click on the email, and bada bing, you're in.
He can take the endorsement and shove it.
You just don't get it, do you? You don't.